Well, I'll begin this morning by giving my deepest thanks to Bethel Church and Brother Ronald for the invitation to be with you in this meeting. I've certainly have enjoyed it, been uplifted by the meeting, and I trust everything's been profitable in this meeting. A while back, I was sitting at my kitchen table, had my Bible open, reading it, and my wife walked by and I said, "Honey, I got a pop quiz for you." And she don't like pop quizzes, but I have one for her. I said, "Tell me, what is the first type and shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ that you find in the scriptures?" She thought for a second or two and she says, "Adam." And I thought it was pretty good right off the top of her head. Come up with a good one there. I said, "Well, honey, that's good, but that's not quite right. There's one before that." I was talking to a preacher one day and I proposed the same question to him, and he come up with, he says, "When God said, 'Let there be light,' for God is light." And I thought for a second, and I said, "That's really good, but that's really not the answer either. What pertains to be a type and shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ? It is someone or something that when we view it, it reminds us of Christ. There's a lot of people in the scriptures that are types of the Lord Jesus Christ. Adam was one. Joseph is a great type and shadow of Christ. Isaac was a type of Christ. Melchizedek was a type of Christ. Samson was a type of Christ. David was a type of Christ. And you just can go on and on at the people in the scriptures that are types of Christ. Then there's inanimate things that are type of Christ. Christ was a living bread. Bread's a type of Christ. The manna from on high was a type of Christ. He says, "I am the true vine." A vine can be a type of Christ. He says, "I am the door." A door's a type of Christ. And then there's a type of Christ that portray God's position with his people. Like Romans chapter 9, verse 21, "Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor?" Well, we read that verse, we know who the potter is, and we know who represents us. We're the clay. God's the potter, we're the clay. In Malachi chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, he's the refiner, we're the silver. The one I want to look at this morning is found in Isaiah chapter 55. In Isaiah chapter 55, beginning with verse 8, the Lord says this. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." Then he says this, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Now in this analogy, in this type, he's the heavens, we're the earth. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." The first type of the Lord Jesus Christ we found in the scriptures is in Genesis 1 and 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He just told us in Isaiah that he's going to use this for a type of Christ and his relation to his people. In this, he's the heavens, we're the earth. Well, we go to Genesis chapter 1, As you look here as he portrays the earth, look what a good picture it is of us. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Okay, the earth comes into being. When we were born, we come into being. And look at the condition we come into being. And the earth was without form and void. The earth was not in the condition that it will be one day when God works upon it. It's in a void condition. It's not in the condition that God will eventually use it for. It's incapable in that condition of doing what God has created it for. He's created it. He give us life when we got natural life. But we're not in the condition yet for the purpose of what God has created us for. Well, does man change his condition and get in the condition? Well, did the earth change itself to become in the condition? And he says, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And then he says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. Now God's beginning to shape his creation, that earth, for the purpose that he's going to use it for. And what began to shape? And the Spirit of God moved upon it. God takes a sinful man that comes into this position. He is without form. He is void of any goodness, of any ability to do anything to the praise of God. And he comes in this world in darkness. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. He's in darkness. And the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. And then what happened next to the earth? And God said, let there be light. It's after the Spirit of God moves upon you, do you have enlightenment that you're able to see, that you're able to understand? The light comes after the Spirit moves upon it, just like it did upon this earth. Now, years ago, scientists and men used to have this belief. They used to believe that everything was revolving around the earth. Till they began to study in it. And isn't that the way man, when he was coming to this world, before the Spirit of God moves upon him, isn't that his belief that everything revolves around me? That's why your life is that self-centered by nature. Everything revolves around me. But then they found out everything did not revolve around the earth. Everything revolved around the sun. And don't we come to the enlightenment that we find out that everything revolves around the sun? He created this earth. He began to form it. It started with his Holy Spirit. And he began to shape it and to mold it for the purpose that he was created. Now, I've heard men say before, I know God chose me, but I don't really understand why he chose me. And I know it's meaning he thinks his unworthiness is there. But there is a sense that we do know why God chose us. We go to Ephesians chapter 1. There's a purpose that God chose us. In Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He says, according as he has chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, reason number one, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. Now, he didn't choose us because we were already holy and without blame, but he chose us to be holy and without blame before him in love. And he wants us to be that because there's another reason coming up that he's going to give that he chose us, but he had to make us holy and without blame before him in love so that we could do the second thing. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, reason number two. He made us holy and without blame in love so that we could do reason number two, to the praise of the glory of his grace. That's why the Lord chose you. That's why the Lord, I trust, chose me. So that he could form us. He could make us to be holy and without blame before him in love so that we could be to the ability to be to the praise of the glory of his grace. That's our job in this world, praising our Lord. God made this world. And he made this earth. It came in without form, without void. We were born in dead and trespasses and sin. Darkness was upon the deep. Darkness was upon us. Then the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. And the Spirit of God moved in our hearts. And he said, let there be light. And then when the Spirit of God moved in our hearts, we began to see our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to understand it. And when he changed our hearts, we became able to be to the praise of his glory and his grace. There's one more thing I want to speak about, the earth, and how it is a picture of us. Then I turned over to Brother Tim. For both of these, the earth and for us, there is a promise of a resurrection. You see, both are not going to exist. We're doomed to go back to the dust. And the earth is doomed to be burned up in fervent heat. But then he says in 2 Peter chapter 3, I believe it's verse 13, nevertheless, according to his promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth, but look how this new earth is going to be. Wherein dwelleth righteousness. Isn't that what we're looking for in our resurrection? Yes. To be resurrected and to be resurrected in righteousness and go and live in a place where it's totally righteousness around the righteous God, and there we'll even be able more and more better and perfectly to be there for this purpose, to the praise of the glory of his grace. God bless you.